We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up and welcome in. It's Tuesday on Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We got a great show planned for you today. 4 o'clock, we're giving away tickets to John Fogerty. You better be listening. At three, we'll do a deep dive into the tournament with Tom Casale, who covers NCAA basketball. And at six, we're breaking down the top of the NFL draft and what the Commanders will do with the number two pick, Eric Edholm, NFL Media. Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Danny Ruye.
Here we go. Now, rest assured, we're just going to digest news that's already happened. Oh, thanks, audience. Thank you. There's going to be no news today. It's because I'm here. I got to go get surgery on my face, my sinuses, Sam Howell gets traded. I lose my voice, Bryce Harper signs in Philly. This has been the pattern. I'm back. We'll just sit back and digest what's already happened, GP. That's what we're going to do.
Since you've been gone.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson style. Sam Howell's been traded.
Uh-huh.
The Commanders have continued adding in free agency. You were sick at the beginning of free agency when they signed the first 10 players
last
year.
Unreal.
They're up to 19 free agents. I think you were here for like two of those. JoJo has been named the opening day starter. Our guy Josiah Gray for the Nationals. And the Capitals are on a heater.
A little something's cooking there.
You didn't miss a thing, my friend.
Well, I mean, on the Caps front, by the way, sorry about those two OV power play goals last night in about a minute of real time apart. Sorry about it.
You should be.
I'm getting a little bit of, you know, Major League vibes. You know, like Rachel Phelps, we're taking off little pieces. I'm getting a little bit of Moneyball vibes post-Jeremy Giambi trade. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Nobody's saying anything. No one's saying anything. All I'm noticing is a fun trend where the Capitals score more goals than their opponents a decent amount all of a sudden. All of a sudden.
We'll get into the Caps in a second. In fact, in this segment, we got a lot to dive into, including Cornelius Lucas re-signing with the Commanders. But how was it? You had the procedure that you told us about.
Yeah.
You sent us a picture where you were extremely bloody. I could have done without that, but
just an
you.
FYI, yeah.
That's friendship right there.
Uh-huh.
Firing that picture off.
By the way, I was like, I don't know how I look. I'm like, oh my God, that's what I look like? Like, brutal.
You look like you had just done 12 rounds with a heavyweight boxer.
And not done well.
Oh, you lost the fight.
Yeah, I didn't hold my own either. The judges were like, referee, could you throw something in the middle?
They landed a couple punches right on your nose.
Haymakers. Yeah, it's tough, dude. I mean, here's the thing. This is preliminary step one. Nobody cares about this kind of stuff. But I've had these chronic issues. It's been miserable. I miss work all the time. I can't talk, whatever. So this is the first phase. It's basically if you'd like to play chess, you actually have to have a chessboard. I had like two hexagons and an Allen wrench. You know what I mean? Like, so they basically tried to clear the field so that we can now try to figure out how to fix some of this crap. But whatever, dude, it's real. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It is a significant deal.
When is the last time you had a surgery where you go under, in air quotes, and come back up, and you're like talking funny and basically on weird fumes?
Ooh, great question.
Because I am petrified of that. Not the surgery
No,
part.
I know.
I don't want to wake back up and be the same reason I don't like getting drunk anymore. I don't just want to be saying words and people are recording me, strangers in hospitals. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything to do with that.
Well, I mean, this is coming from the guy who won't take a nap at work. Like if we have to be here for like 15 hours for some kind of weird thing and there's a couch in a quiet room, you won't just go doze off for 15 minutes because like somebody might see you.
Not in a million years.
You see what I'm saying?
Not for all of the money
now,
in your bank account.
Take that and now multiply it times whatever, where you're like not in control of your faculties and saying who knows what, the subconscious is just coming out. You have no idea what's happening.
One of my greatest fears.
Yeah, the filter. It's a show. I mean, they're checking in on you. Not like Tom Wilson was checking in on Leo that time, but like they're checking on you, just sort of talking to you, making sure you're competent, and then eventually you go under. So the very sweet lady who did the anesthesia is asking me questions, right? And like, how old are you? I'm 44. Where do you live? We live in Fairfax now, and you know, I used to live in D.C., and oh, how about you? And then next thing you know, it's like a little harder to answer the question. You know, I was like, wait, what was that? What happened? She's like, no, don't worry about it. Just passing the time. Because it's to like check your
slowly
conscious
going
level.
To sleep.
And then sure enough, like it seemed like somebody way far away in the past, like Hill Valley, 1955, was asking me about something, and I was like, I'm searching for the answer. And I think it is? It's deep in my subconscious. I'm going to close my eyes and go swimming, and I'll find it. Next thing I wake up to somebody kind of like gently patting my hand and be like, it's over, buddy. It's over, buddy. You did it. You did it. It's wild, though, dude.
Yeah, that's just a strange experience.
The whole thing is. But yeah, so basically.
Did you do any impressions of the doctors to the doctors?
This,
you did that in the past, and that almost got you in a little trouble.
As a 15-year-old, I had, this is the last time I had something similar, not similar to this, but I had significant wisdom teeth, like impacted, whatever the scientific term is. So they had to put me under for that to get them out of there. I don't remember this, obviously, because again, it's not my fault, all right? But I did some impressions of the people that were helping with the surgery, the procedure that day, when I was sort of, you know, on my way to be passed out and stuff like that. And my dad was embarrassed and had to apologize on my behalf. And everybody had a good sense of humor about it, thankfully, because it's, again, you're not in control of your faculties at that point. But again, who knows? I guess that's the thing you're afraid of. But for those that missed it, and again, not to make this about myself, nobody cares. We got plenty of sports to talk about. But it's basically like getting your nose broken, but on purpose, what they were doing. So like the deviated septum, it's like a river that keeps crashing into a mountainside or something like that. They basically had to chisel a hole, correct the course, and they're like, all right, now, we're going to let some air go through there. I can breathe. It's still clogged and gross and full of terrible stuff. But air is going through my right nostril and sinus for the first time in more than 30 years. Think about that. Think about what a weird sensation that is, right? So then they did a bunch of other stuff, too, like the dilation this, inflation that, turbinate reduction things, stuff I don't understand or whatever, but the real doctors know what they're doing at Capital Breathe 3 in D.C. They're awesome. They're great to work with. And it's now starting to feel, I don't say normal, but better. I mean, a couple days ago, I was pretty miserable, but I'm on the other side now.
Well, I'm happy for you. I don't have anything nearly exciting to report in my personal life. I will just tell you that the big thing that happened for me today was as I was walking in the Navy Yard, there were tiny little robots everywhere.
Now, you've mentioned these robots a couple times. Like, what are you talking about?
So I took a video because I knew you would ask, and I want you to go look at it, at Grant H. Paulson. They were at every street corner for some reason, and I don't know what they were doing, just going up and down the street, turning corners, bumping into you just about. They stop right before they hit you. But what's amazing, if you watch the video, the comfort, the casual nature with which everyone's just accepting that these stupid robots are just about to bump into them, and they just on their phones, like, sidestep it as if they're Austin Eckler in the hole and a linebacker's trying to get him to the ground. In the video I posted, there's a lady walking down the street.
Yeah, she almost hits it.
At no point does she look up, let alone go, this is weird. This isn't a dog. This is a robot without a human attached. I Googled this company. I forget what it's called, Kiwi something. And supposedly, these little robots deliver food. I don't know from where to where. It seems like it might be big on college campuses or something. Why they're all over the Navy Yard today, I don't know. Someone said D.C. Department of Transportation was using them for something. But I guess I have two major points to make.
Go on.
Number one, everyone should stop when a robot's coming toward them that they've never seen before and go, what's going on here? I want more people pointing and looking, making a big deal of this.
Making a fuss.
I want phones out. Like you're recording this robot. I want people to notice them. This cannot be just part of the normal fabric already. That's number one. Number two, we need to stop with robots. Elon Musk is doing all kinds of stuff. Enough. Has no one ever seen a movie or read a book? What is the infatuation and obsession, Danny, with robots? I know that everyone's like, oh, this is a radio bit. No, it's not. Like, enough already. Have you seen how advanced some of these things
are?
Oh, yeah. Like, I see these on my Instagram reels and stuff sometimes where I'm just scrolling and there's, like, actual robots that respond and, like, they turn around and get you the donut you want at the shop. Enough with this. This is going to end so terribly. Everyone stop right now.
Here's the thing. I'd love to disagree with you. I'd love to have a fun thing where I make fun of you and go, like, Grant, you're overdoing it. 100%.
I mean, a lot of people are, by the way. There's this guy on Twitter.
Which is adorable.
Like, this guy on Twitter, he says to me, because I posted the video. He goes, wow, looks so unsafe. I'm glad you're okay. This little guy delivering your piece of pizza is not the issue. There's a greater problem when a lady doesn't look up from her phone because this robot's about to bump into her shin. When we just become okay with all of this.
A little delivery system or like using a drone or something to drop off a package, that doesn't really bother me as much. What does bother me are these like giant panther mega people that can walk on all fours or on their hind legs and are stronger than the strongest human being times 1,000 that are like responding to stimuli. And they're like, look what we can make this thing do in the lab. And it like does a backflip and then punches a hole through the wall and then becomes self-aware and then decides that humans are the greatest threat to the planet and then eradicates us all. Oh, wait, every movie ever. It's not born from nothing. I'm 100% with you. Using robotics at times has led to some amazing advancements. You know what I mean? Using small microscopic cameras or certain fields of AI are leading to incredible revolutionary things, both in terms of efficiency, saving lives, all sorts of stuff. Imagine this. Imagine firefighters one day showing up to a house where the blaze is going too hot for them to enter, but they need to save somebody upstairs. You could send a robot who could do, lead the way and, put out some of those flames or take some of the brunt of it and not risk human lives. Amazing. I'm all for that. That's great. We need to maintain the dominance over the robot. We give away too much. They're never giving it back.
So I've gone on this little rabbit hole now based on today almost being bumped into by this little guy.
The little toaster oven.
Enough with Star Wars wacky C-23P7. Get away from me. I'm in the Navy Yard doing my thing.
First of all, that's not a protocol, Dre. I need you to take that back.
Whatever the hell it is, it needs to go away. So this is where I'm at, yep. Okay? Do you know anything about Figure 01, the robot?
No. Which guy's that?
With OpenAI, Figure 01 can now have full conversations with people. OpenA1 models provide high-level visual and language intelligence. Figure neutral networks deliver fast, low-level, dexterous robot actions. Essentially, the video I'm watching here, okay, this robot stands in a kitchen.
Yep.
And a guy stands there and goes, find the apple and pick it up. He just goes over. There's like 11 things. He grabs the apple and he's like, put the apple in the dishwasher. He comes over, puts it, take it out. Grab me a knife. And he just, whatever the guy says, this robot just does and responds to the guy.
Mm-mm.
Why are we doing this?
Mm-mm-mm.
Get your own apple, man. Like, everyone's like, oh, funny, Grant. No, man. This should scare people.
Again, using the robot as a tool is novel and it's interesting. There are practical applications. I'm with you. Like, I'll chop my own fruit, thanks. Or like, I'll peel the orange.
Yeah, you can make the case that there's a big gray area of like, at some point we started the assembly line. And that was a technology and some robotic element to making things more simple. There's cars that operate right now. I've seen people where they'll get a car service. I don't know which one it is, but you hop in. There's no one driving the vehicle. And like Uber, they'll just take you and drop you off. And, these girls are recording it on their Instagram and they think it's the funniest thing in the world. Like, this is all happening.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it, fine. When I got robots that are picking up knives to slice apples because you told them
there
to,
it is.
And saying, no problem, Danny. Get away from me.
As you wish. Yeah, no thanks. To me, it's that fine line, and we're rapidly approaching it, by the way, in a rocket ship, okay, of where we give them so much intelligence that it's the plot of Terminator and a million other things.
How about every movie where there's ever been a robot ever?
Well, there's when self-awareness becomes a thing. So, for example, when you have enough AI, right now all that thing is doing is using processing and it's mirroring what human beings do. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Ex Machina, right? The Turing test. The whole movie's about that, where someone this robot in question, or the cyborg, whatever you want to call it, can emulate human behavior, right? Like, I have learned the elements of a joke, therefore I will tell a joke to you, but you're not actually funny. See what I'm saying? Like, when we give them the ability to not only mimic enough human behavior, but then to supersede it, it's up to them whether or not we get to keep going. Like, once we give them enough control, talking about the robots and the autonomy and the AI, if they decide, you know who's had enough on this planet? The humans. We're at their mercy.
Am I wrong, though, to say that there's not a healthy fear? It seems like there's an excitement or an intrigue that far outweighs people's concern.
Yeah, it's because we can. Like, the excitement over being able to trumps anything else that you can come up with.
All right, but I'm going to ask this another way. Yes, and I get that part. But do you agree or disagree with what I'm about to say? I think the average person listening right now is like, oh, this isn't that funny. Like, you're trying to do a radio bit. Get to the sports. I'm being dead serious. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, I know. That's what you're cooking.
Do you think that the average person sees that thing today? Like, you either didn't pay attention. I watched this thing for 10 minutes. People either walked around and didn't care, or a couple guys took out their phone and were like, oh, this is so funny. Look at this. Nobody did what I think they should be doing, which is like, the hell is this thing? Why is this here?
I'd like to welcome you. This is what I've felt about asteroid defense my entire life.
But with all due respect, and I'm glad you're back, and I'm excited to see you. You're my friend.
So what you're going to try to do is dismiss my thing.
I'm about to do the thing that I'm mad people are doing to me about the robots.
Right.
This is a real issue. Your thing can't hurt us.
Mm.
This thing will hurt us.
2019 Chelyabinsk. Look it up. Or the dinosaur. Just go pet one. You can't. They're dead because of the meteors. We need to protect our planet.
We have technology now that will prevent...
That delivers food in front of them. We don't have it yet. We're on the way. We're thousands of years away, probably. Nah, that's not true. Hundreds. Point of the dude's story
from
is...
From which?
Of an asteroid that, if it wants to, could just take us out. The whole planet. Done. We can kind of smack it a little bit with a rocket and hope.
Two different options. Serious, legitimate options.
Now, again, you're doing the Armageddon bit. Nobody wants to hear it.
Two options.
You're doing the Armageddon bit.
I'm not.
Listen, I'll undermine your robot cause so quick. I'll turn on you.
One. The first option. We quite literally just... We track the sky. We know where everything is, at what speed, when it's coming, and how close it's going to be. And we make sure that nothing hits us. That's number
one. Just make sure real quick.
Yes, we'll make sure.
Yeah, just make sure.
Exactly.
All you have to do is make sure.
We have devices.
We haven't been making sure.
Number two.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a pretty good job. We're here, and nobody's being bothered by these things.
Mm.
Number two.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Stamper.
There it is.
We send him and his oil drillers up.
It's like being in a tunnel and seeing one headlight. I'm like, what is that?
They land on that son bitch.
Mm-hmm.
They drill down 700 feet.
I got to make my depth.
And they shoot a nuclear warhead led by Colonel Willie Sharp into the rock.
Yep.
It explodes into two pieces, narrowly missing Earth on both directions.
Now, a similar analogy would be, well, none of the robots have killed anybody yet, Grant, so there's nothing to worry about. We have the technology. We'll be fine. We got a robotics team. We got John Connor in the future. So you see how undermining that is? You know how frustrating that is?
It is
to be dismissed?
But
point is...
Do you think that we have thousands and thousands of people that work in making sure robots don't kill us? Because I don't think that's a field yet.
No.
It needs to be a field.
100%.
Do we have millions of people working in asteroid defense?
No.
We have thousands.
It's a side gig for several hundred people.
Thousands of people on this guy.
It's nowhere,
in America, it's hundreds.
It's nowhere near what it should be.
It's tens of thousands are working to make sure that the dinosaurs get to live this time.
Now, what we have in your defense, or in your column, 50 million times that number trying to sprint downhill with rocket skates on for more of these.
Exactly.
More robots.
Everyone wants more.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to do a big Elon Musk thing. I know he's divisive and he runs Twitter now, and it seems to that decisions he makes are weird and don't make sense to me. I don't care about Elon Musk. Whatever your personal opinion is, kick rocks. That's not the point. What I will say about Elon Musk is all he wants is robots, it seems like. He's just designing their letters and numbers, A7, R2. Stop, man. Like, what is this? And what are you going to say when it's too late? Oops, my bad. Sorry, guys.
That's on me.
You were right. I was wrong.
Billionaires are so bored.
That doesn't get me anywhere.
They're so bored. Like, think about, right now, snap my fingers. Billionaire. You're like, I should probably leave Earth. That's one option. That's what billionaires do. They're
just
like,
get on a spaceship.
I need to be in space because regular Earth is like not enough for me. The other is, let me create an unstoppable force. Let me just create something that could do irreparable harm. Let's try that. Too much.
Stop.
The billionaires, man, they're so bored.
It's amazing. All right, let's get into sportsy stuff. You're back. Don't you want to talk about some sportsy stuff?
Let's do it together.
The Capitals won again last night.
There you go.
Currently in a playoff spot coming home. How about that? Cornelius Lucas signed by the Commanders to protect whose blind side? Who's going to be their starting quarterback? You're listening to Grant and Danny back at full strength on The Fan. He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Tom Casale covers college hoops, helps us break down the bracket in 30 minutes at 3. We've got John Fogarty tickets today ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4. Cornelius Lucas is staying in Washington. That doesn't sound like a big deal. Maybe you're right, except that as of yesterday, Washington's starting and backup left tackle were both no longer on the roster. They cut Charles Leno, who's having hip surgery this offseason. Lucas, his backup, who's been a pretty steady reserve over the last several years. He's been here for 4 years. He has started 8-7-12 in 4 games, though.
He's the annual Ty Ensekhe Award winner, right? Of the guy that, you know, swing tackle that plays better than you think.
31 starts over the last 4 seasons for Washington. He's played on both sides, right and left tackle. So we were kind of assuming they were going to sign a back tier offensive tackle to be their swing guy who could give them some options going into the draft. I wonder if Lucas is that guy, if they're done at that position until the draft. It's obvious they're going to have to draft a starting left tackle. But the point I was making yesterday, I don't know where you're at on this. Generally, you're not getting your starting left tackle at number 36 or number 40. Those guys are going 25 or 30 picks higher than that a lot of the time. So if their plan is to go into the draft and take a quarterback at 2, and also get a left tackle, unless they read the board right and they really like a guy in the second round, maybe more than other teams do, that they think can play right away, that they're projecting, you know, big production from sooner than a lot of teams, and they can get him fall into the second round at 36 or 40, maybe they'll have to package some picks and go up into the back end of the first round to grab a left tackle, because I don't think you want to start a season with Cornelius Lucas on the left side. And I can tell you, this is no doubt in my mind. If you have a rookie quarterback, I don't care if it's Daniels or it's May, you 100% shouldn't start next year with Lucas as your left tackle.
To me, this was now, I understand moving on from Leno, especially now given the health and everything else, doesn't mean he did anything wrong. It's just, you know, the business of football, it moves. That's why I thought they'd actually go get a more stable, solid veteran, with the idea of you draft your tackle of the future, maybe more of a project, as you said, somebody in that, you know, high 20s if you have to trade back in, 30s or at 40. Think of a Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, for example, someone that could slip into round 2. Now, that may not be the guy that's your Marquise anchor, Trent Williams-style left tackle from day one. It's someone that could grow into that role, right? So then you have your short-term veteran tackle like they've done at a couple other positions with some of these short-term deals. A guy who wants one more contract in the sun. Let him play right tackle as an apprenticeship, then move him over to the left when he's kind of ready to ascend into that role. I thought they would do that. I don't know that the market played out the way that they thought, or who knows exactly what the deal is. There's always a lot of permutations.
But, I mean, Tyron Smith got $6.5 million guaranteed over the next year to go sign the contract he did. Now, he could make more than that with incentives, which I'm guessing with all their cap space they had, they would have gladly given him. Right? If he plays well and he starts 17 times and he gives you huge production to help protect your rookie quarterback, you don't mind giving him double-digit $1 million a year.
No, I would have. And again, but I was thinking that would be their approach, but it doesn't seem to have been.
But when you say the market played out in a way maybe that they didn't expect, how? Tyron Smith got no money. You just yesterday saw, was it Trent Brown or today maybe, went to the Bengals. The former Patriots starting tackle who's been around forever and is a starter in the league. There was not much of a market. He's not going to get a lot of money. I mean, he had to wait over a week to get signed. So what was so big about the tackle market that they could have missed?
So let me rephrase.
Calculated.
What I was trying to say was, I thought this is how they'd approach it. Or that my vision of it was, okay, we're doing a lot of these short-term things, right? Where nobody's really here beyond a couple of seasons. A lot of one-year deals, some 2 years with the ability to get out of it after one. The guys that we've signed for 3 that still, you know, aren't these long-term, huge, ridiculous, high-salaried commitments. I thought they would find a solid veteran at the left tackle spot.
Same.
I thought that's what they would do. I'm hypothesizing why maybe they didn't. I guess it wasn't their plan. I thought it would be their plan. It doesn't seem to have been.
But this is my point.
Yeah.
Based on what Tyron Smith got and what Trent Brown didn't get for a week until today, Mekhi Becton's a good example as well. They didn't have much interest in signing a stopgap left tackle. They did at linebacker, and they went out and got a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
They did at defensive end. They went out and got a few of them. It just seemed like maybe they didn't like these tackles a lot, or they're convinced that the tackles in the draft class are so good that they're going to get a starter there. But unless they trade back from two, you're not picking again until 36 unless you trade up. I think that's a gamble. I think you're rolling the dice.
It definitely is. Definitely is.
Unless they pick before they're supposed to the second time. I mean, how often do you take a left tackle at 36 that immediately starts? I would say more often than not, if you're taking a tackle in the second round, they're a right tackle or they don't start right away.
Pretty much, right? It's the one of my philosophies now that's been hardened and was born over years of watching Washington really struggle and not do things right and having one regime inherit a quarterback that they didn't really like or want, and then the next one wouldn't work, and then we're always lined up on the wrong cycle, was a criminal misuse, in my opinion, of not doing everything you possibly could to support that young quarterback. Who knows whether the guys that have come and gone through here would have been successful elsewhere? Who knows if Justin Fields could have been good or Mac Jones could have been good? We laugh at those guys now, right? They're now punchlines as guys that, they certainly can't play. Or, who knows with Mitch Trubisky or some of the other dudes. But the best way to find out if someone can really do it or not is to assemble the greatest nest possible. This is a unique opportunity where this team can actually do that, right? Where you've got an outrageous amount of salary cap space. You're not maxed out from some previous regime's leftover mistakes. You've got draft capital. Thankfully, they did the right thing and didn't just go for it one last time with Montez Sweat and Chase Young and whatever to finish 7-9. You are in a position where you can actually build and add a lot of talent. That left tackle position, in general, I'm all in favor. Let's draft a whole bunch of guys. Let's let them grow together. Now you get the makings of a team that can be good for multiple years, not just a handful of weeks in December. But to me, this is one of those ones where I go, I'm going to break my plan just to make sure my young quarterback is protected. That's the idea there, and they don't seem to have done that.
Speaking of the draft, we've got some audio from Joel Klatt. We'll play for you in just a couple of minutes on what he thinks the Commanders should do at number two, plus new mock drafts out from a couple of the preeminent draft experts, Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah. We'll dive into what those guys have Washington doing with the number two pick coming up next segment here on Grant and Danny. The Capitals played last night. Want to get into their huge win, Danny, because in the biggest game of their year to this point, they were able to get 2 points in regulation with style points, man. They looked great doing it. 5-2 over Calgary on the road. So they win 3 in a row, 6 straight points in 3 games to come back from the longest road trip of their season. The last time they'll play out of the Eastern time zone on the year. Huge accomplishment for them. And as of right now, coming home, they have a playoff spot. They have traded off veterans in a year that's been kind of a disaster in terms of their highest paid players.
Yeah.
Ovi got off to a really slow start. Nicholas Backstrom all but retired a week or two into the season. Yevgeny Kuznetsov was terrible, one of the worst analytical players in the league. They have since traded him. They moved on from veterans. They've called up a bunch of kids. And not only are they hanging around, but they're starting to climb the standings. Last night, Alex Ovechkin, the team captain, leading the way with 2 goals.
Wilson fighting for it, got it to Pacioretty. Left circle, he score! Alex Ovechkin with a tip of his own in front of a Pacioretty feed to the front of the net. Ovechkin on a man advantage. Here and it's Strome. Bringing it back down to Carlson. Ovechkin scores! It's his second goal of the game, and that is vintage number 8 from the office.
Ovi,
a missile.
Over the last 21 games with 13 goals, that is a little better than a quarter of a season's worth. So that's not a small sample. If you extrapolate that out, that's a 50-goal pace. It's as if his issues early in the year were the anomaly and the fluke, and that's not what he is now, right? He's back to basically the Ovi of every season before this one over the last quarter of a year now. 2 more goals last night, 13 in that 21-game stretch. He's sitting at 21 on the year, on pace for about 25, and he's very much back in business as it pertains to catching Gretzky.
Hey, what a relief, by the way, that happened. It's now, it's a thing again. For a while, it was not. Now you're going, how many years is he going to have to play? Another three or maybe four seasons to do it? I don't feel good about it.
Isn't it amazing how every single time people start to count him out, it's the Undertaker gif where he sits up and he's back from the dead.
You'd think idiots like me would learn, but here I am going, I don't know, I don't know. He's moved to left wing without emotes now. I don't know if it's going to happen. Good heavens, the guy's amazing. By the way, goalie interference went against the Caps again last night. That's how I know what the rule is.
The pits.
If it affects the Capitals negatively.
It's so true.
That's, I know we're talking about bigger fish to fry. They won. Yeah. I'm glad they won. They played really well. They deserve to win. Always on fire. If a goalie interference question comes up, there's an easy diagram.
Which side are the Caps
Does it negatively affect the Washington Capitals? That's the side you go to and just wait for them to arrive.
It was funny because last night, Joby and Locker are both going, oh, that's clearly goalie interference.
It is, Joby.
And I'm like, well, then clearly it's not going to be. If you think that the stupid rule fumbling into the end zone's bad or catch or no catch, hold my beer. Let me let you meet goaltender interference. But the kids, man.
Yep.
I love them. Hendricks LaPierre is legit. He had a great defensive play to save a win against the Kraken the other night. Had a goal with awesome hands and hand-eye last night. Beck Malenstein was like a fourth-line grinder. 13th assist on the season last night on Willie's empty netter. 7 of his 19 points have come in the final 10 minutes or overtime. He's played really well. The Capitals have allowed 4 goals or fewer. Now you're dating back almost 5 weeks, like 80% of the time. 4 goals total in their last 3 games. This is the 4th time this season that they've allowed 2 or fewer goals in 3 or more games they're playing. Great defense. And Charlie Lindgren, what a star. What a stud. They paid Kemper.
Yeah.
He was like we'll give this guy a little money.
In addition, we'll get Charlie Lindgren.
He'll be the backup. Lindgren, 5-1 with a 1.3 goals against and a .956 save percentage in his last 6 games. Standing on his head. You know how hot he is? He's hot enough that last night, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I was like, if they make the playoffs, he could steal a series from a really good team. That's how well he's playing. Now, when they get to the playoffs, he's still got to be playing at this level, and they've got to get to the playoffs. They've got 16 games in 30 days, and only 5 of them are against non-playoff caliber teams. So getting in is going to be tough. But the win last night, at least according to one of the sites, they went from a 44% chance to a 56% chance to get in.
That's a pretty big jump. That's nearly, what's that? Hold on, carry the 2. That's like 12%.
They are in via the wild card right now, which I think is actually the tougher road. And they're 1 point behind the Flyers. And now they come home for 4 straight games. Got to handle their business.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that this was possible, frankly. Because you touched on it at the top of discussing this. The huge salary commits to guys like Oshie and Backstrom and Kuznetsov. And to a degree, Ovechkin. Although, you know, obviously he's kind of earned a lifetime pass here. But those other guys, whether it's their fault or not, we're not contributing up to that level. No team in any sport, when you've got that level of salary cap allocation and you've got no production from them, can sustain, can be any good. So they're all pretty much out of the way. Now, Oshie and Ovechkin aren't, but this wave of kids has kind of filled in really nice, and it's a lot of fun to watch them.
Who's Kuiper got the Commanders taking it too? What about Daniel Jeremiah? They've got new mock drafts out. We'll tell you next on Grant and Danny. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. A couple of new mocks have dropped from some of the preeminent draft experts. Mel Kiper has the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner, LSU. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, says they'll take Drake May out of North Carolina. What is really interesting about not only those two guys and what they're thinking, but also pretty much the plugged-in draft people's mocks right now, is that they're all saying the same thing. Here's who I'm assigning Washington based on my rankings, essentially. But I have no idea what the Commanders are going to do. And it seems to me they did the same thing in free agency. They haven't really been responsive, it seems like. Only Adam Schefter, ESPN, or a couple of the national reporters are getting anything. They're in the bunker. They're not really communicating. There's not a lot of leaks coming out. Nobody really knows what they're going to do at number 2 overall.
There's some mystery.
And I don't mind that. I think it's not only exciting for us, but it's probably beneficial, big picture. Because if nobody knows what you're thinking, you're getting phone calls from everybody about all kinds of possibilities.
You want there to be intrigue. You want the opportunity to not dismiss stuff. I remember back in 2020 for the Chase Young draft. Whether it was true or not, remember we heard those reports or saw those things out there where they're not even entertaining overtures for the number 2 overall pick. Why not entertain them? Whether you want to do it or not, no one's requiring you to do anything, but you should always have options open. Allow yourself to be bowled over. Allow yourself to get that Godfather offer. Allow yourself to get the Herschel Walker deal or everything in between. Totally reasonable for that to happen. So, yeah, that intrigue, and it's not as if they're flushing a bunch of things down the pipes to see what comes back. Like, one person tells me they love J.J. McCarthy. Somebody else tells me they love Jaden Daniels. Someone tells me they love Drake May. Nobody's doing any of that. It is radio silence over there.
Joel Klatt of Fox Sports, who is on all their calls of their Big Noon Saturday kicks and one of their lead college football analysts, talking Drake May and the top of the draft board behind Caleb Williams last night. Here's what he had to say.
So as much as the Vikings are generating some headlines, I think that Washington selects, and my selection for them is Drake May. I know that there are some out there that are interested in taking shots at Drake May or tearing him down. And I understand. It's not the cleanest film that you're ever going to watch. But man, if you watch his film and you can't see the top end potential, then you're biased and crazy. The guy is, outside of Caleb, the highest potential quarterback in the draft. And there's no questions about that. There's other really good options at quarterback, but not high-end potential. If Caleb Williams is a generational player, Drake May is a bona fide number one selection almost every other year, except for when Caleb Williams is in the draft. Now, he's getting picked apart a little bit, and that's part of the process. Guys are going to get picked apart. CJ Stroud got picked apart last year. Drake May, top-end potential-wise, makes throws other guys just can't. Just can't. As soon as he walks into the league, he is a top 5 potential quarterback in the National Football League. And I'm talking about the throws that he can make, the off-schedule plays that he can make, off-platform throws he can make with velocity, athleticism, pace, you know, the tempo to those throws, all of those things. Throwing out a ton of scouting terms to basically say, like, guys, Drake May is really good.
Joel Klatt of Fox Sports. Yesterday, speaking my language on Drake May. But what's funny is you can find a video of someone talking like that about Drake May, and then you can find your video of someone doing the same thing with Daniels. And I don't put him in the same category, just like some guy with a blog. I mean, there are folks that I put in an upper category like him, but the Daniels fans like Kuiper are out there. It is just amazing to me to hear the confidence with which everyone sees this so differently. And it's why it's such an amazing time of year.
Well, A, that's number one. But number two, we still treat this, despite overwhelming evidence smacking us in the face every single year, like an exact science. It's not. Quite literally, not an exact science. If it was, you would go, this player is a 9.4, therefore you should be drafted ahead of the guy that's 9.3, and we just go down the list. It's not. It's always going to be the eye of the beholder. And the thing I've been confused by is the amount of venom that May gets. That's the part that you and I have talked about a bunch that I think is just so baffling. Like, To Klatt's point, if this is a different year, he's the number one overall pick, and you don't bat your eyes about it, right?
That's my one kind of surprise about this process. And if there's any of that toward Jaden Daniels, I think that's foolish and ridiculous, too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's an inexact science, and any of these guys could be busts and not be particularly good in the NFL. That goes without saying. But if you watch Jaden Daniels, you don't come away going, that's a pretty electric skill set. That'd be exciting if he pans out in the league. I don't know what you're thinking. And if you watch Drake May similarly and you don't come away going, my God, that arm, that'll play. He's huge. He's got a big arm and he's an athlete. That's the starter kit. That's what you're looking for. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it seems like people dig in on their guy and then the other one suddenly, it's like binary where you just think that guy's going to be a bust. Tom Casale covers the NCAA basketball season for Sportsline. He does a great job breaking down the tournament. We'll have him on to help us with our brackets next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.